Welcome. I'm Bob Lagasse, Executive Director of the Mulch and Soil Council, and I'm first here to welcome you to the 51st annual meeting of the Mulch and Soil Council. One of the first things we want to do, oh, by the way, new graphics, new things we can do with sponsors. Thank you, Color Biotics. And in addition to that, I want to thank all of our sponsors because the sponsors give us added resources that we can improve on and expand on the meeting without expanding your cost to participate. So that's very important. And I particularly want to recognize our diamond sponsors, AgriCoatings, for sponsoring the lanyards and the badges, Color Biotics for sponsoring our AV and graphics, Social Marks Media, gold sponsor, or platinum sponsor, for tomorrow night's president's reception, and Vermeer for tonight's exhibit reception. The gold sponsors, Invinia, for last night's event that was outstanding. Everybody had a great time at the Meet the Board reception, and T.H. Glennon for their generous sponsorship of the bags that were given out with all the information packets in them. Thank you so much. Our silver sponsors, Chromascape, Loadscan, CompTech, and ProAmpac also made possible more breaks this year, and we appreciate them giving us some refreshment and time to recoup between sessions. So give a round of applause, please, for all our sponsors. Thank and introduce our board of directors. These are the volunteers who donate their time and their expertise to having the council function without reimbursement, without payment, and we couldn't do what we do without the guidance of the board. So please recognize Jim Weber, our president. Jim, stand up. Jim's with Ohio Mulch in Columbus, Ohio. Byron Morgan, vice president. He's with Mountain West Bark in Rexburg, Idaho. Joel Ertl, secretary treasurer of Old Castle Lawn and Garden in Sauget, Illinois. Our directors, Rob Hudeberg with Kellogg Garden Products in Ontario, Canada, California. Sorry about that. And Dr. K. Yon Jung with Sungrow Horticulture from Agawam, Massachusetts. Okay. Tanya Berg Kitzmiller with Grant County Mulch in Petersburg, West Virginia. Steve Liffers, Swanson Bark in Longview, Washington. Rick Mahoney, Garrick LLC in Cleveland. Where's Rick? Kent Roder, Color Biotics in Ames, Iowa. Kimberly Rogalski, Scott's Miracle-Gro, Columbus, Ohio. Randy Tyre, Wapaka Northwoods, Wapaka, Wisconsin. And Brad Volker, New Earth Compost in Conroe, Texas. As you see, we come from all over the country. If you have any ideas, any comments, any suggestions that you want to make, these are the people, these are your leadership, you should talk to them. Next on the list is your staff. Myself, you know, Robert Lagasse, Executive Director. Shelley Williams, Associate Executive Director, Membership Coordinator, and Meetings Planner. And Carol Ledbetter, over here. Certification Administrator, Audit Team Leader, and Publications Editor. Lonnie Nelson, where's Lonnie? Back there. Certification Administrator and Test Lab Manager. So if you've got product being tested. Be nice to him. And J.C. McGowan, office administrator and accounts receivable payables and audit team member. J.C. Now to give you the official welcome, I'd like to invite Jim Weber to the podium. Jim?
Thank you, Bob. Well, welcome to the 51st annual meeting. This year's a record attendance, 206 people. Yes. So you'll see 24 people walk around with a yellow badge, and the rest of us, the regulars, have the white badge, so certainly welcome the people with the yellow badge to our association. Certainly, I want to thank Joe Ertle for putting on this year's presentation. Last year, Kimberly Rogowski put it on. The board members all methodically choose which person is going to run the annual meeting. And this past year, Joe happened to use the restroom and we voted him in. We haven't picked one for 2023 yet, but I think Rob, he might be the person. Unfortunately, he didn't have to use the restroom all day today, so we couldn't vote him in. Yes. certainly, welcome back all the current members. Also appreciate all the sponsors. Without the sponsors, we certainly couldn't put this on like we normally do. That's it. Thank you.
I'd like to hear from our program chair, Joe Ertle.
Thank you, Jim. That is how I was picked to be this year's program chair. So it's quite the honor. But seriously, you know, I did take it seriously, even though I did get ambushed a bit. This really is, I think, a meeting that over the years it has been very helpful for the industry, and I know I've personally learned a lot. So once I did find out that I was the winner to put on this year's program, I reached out to several members about what they could use help with, what would they want to learn about. So I hope this year when you look at the program, we've got some topics around labor to help people with the labor challenges that they're seeing. We've got the session on growing media, which there's a lot wrapped up into that around being sustainable, around being green, also dealing with the supply chain challenges that we faced. There's also a resounding request around business insurance and what's been going on in the insurance market, so there'll be a little bit around that. And then obviously fire safety is a big topic always for the mulch producers. So hopefully you walk away from this conference and feel like you learned something, you met somebody new, and that was worth your time, because all of you could be doing something else and you've chosen to be here. So even though we joke about who has to put on the program, we do take this seriously and do want to make sure that it's a good event for everybody involved. Please make sure you look at your programs, not only for the calendar of events, but your sponsors are in there as well. Please thank them. Without them, this wouldn't be possible. So thank you.
Thank you, Joe. We are a small trade association and have historically had to have concern about antitrust and other issues. So to explain our antitrust policy, our distinguished legal counsel, John Hazard, will address the crowd and tell you what you can and can't do.
Thank you for that nice introduction. I know everybody's always glad to hear from the lawyer in the group. And it's nice to be at a meeting after a couple of years. It's nice to be at a meeting where nobody's wearing a mask. So I think that's progress, legal or otherwise. I'm the group's attorney. I'm with Webster Chamberlain & Bean in Washington, D.C. We represent primarily nonprofit associations, many of which are trade associations like this one, and most of which are small to medium size. You all fit into that category. You're a small to medium-sized association. But you're a very important association. You're very well run, thanks to the board and thanks to your executive director and the staff and so forth. And in all of our years of meeting and so forth, we've never had an antitrust incident. We've never been involved in an investigation for antitrust activity. But every year I just go over a few things. Antitrust, basically, at heart, is a conspiracy, two or more persons getting together to conspire to do something that's illegal. What's illegal? Price fixing, market allocation, monopolization, that kind of stuff. And with our clients, and we represent over 600 different clients, as I said, many of which are trade associations, there seems to be an assumption that because a group is small to medium size, that the official regulators, federal and state, the antitrust regulators at the Federal Trade Commission and the various state agencies and so forth, won't be interested in you. And that is not true. All of these things that are in your antitrust policy statement, which is in the beginning of your booklet, we publish this every year, all of these things are of great interest to the enforcers, especially if the group is small to medium size, because that means that they probably won't fight you. So the antitrust investigations that my law firm typically is involved with are with groups just like yours. So I thought today, before I wrap up, I would just give you a couple of examples of what can happen to small to medium-sized membership trade associations. These are recent antitrust cases, and it's the kind of thing that can happen not necessarily because the association has done anything wrong, but because the members get together during a meeting like this and so forth, and they violate the cardinal rule of conspiracy. Okay. Just a couple of examples here. The New Hampshire Snowmobile Association was recently nailed for price fixing. Okay, just a little association devoted just to snowmobiles. But they counseled all of their members to engage in a scheme to fix prices to open new snowmobile clubs. I mean, something that simple got them investigated by the New Hampshire antitrust people. The Texas Dental Association. That's an interesting case because the association itself actually didn't do anything wrong. Its members, under the guise of a meeting just like this, got together and decided to do things. Several members were concerned about low-cost dental suppliers entering the state of Texas. So they got together at the association meetings and so forth and cooked up several schemes, including one disgraceful scheme to keep the low-cost dental suppliers from attending the annual meeting of the Texas Dental Association. Well, the antitrust people got a hold of this and investigated everybody. The association wasn't held liable for anything, but because its members had met during the association meetings, it was investigated, and that was a very expensive proposition for the association. Also, the members that were nailed for doing this, for keeping the suppliers out of the Texas market, ended up paying penalties of over $300,000. So those penalties went to the individual members, not to the association. And you cannot assume that just because you're in business and your corporation has purchased an insurance policy, that the insurance policy will always cover stuff like that, especially if you've been convicted of doing something wrong or you've signed a consent decree saying you've done something wrong. And then very small associations like a local real estate brokerage. These brokerages are always a subject of antitrust interest because real estate is very competitive. And this involved the Nantucket Association of Real Estate Brokers, Nantucket, Massachusetts, a very small place. And if you're going to be a broker there, you really have to join the association. Well, the association got together. They were worried about competition among themselves, so they got together and cooked up some membership criteria that was just so stringent and so high that practically nobody could meet the requirements unless this small group of people said they could. So they ended up getting nailed also for an antitrust investigation by the state of Massachusetts, the Attorney General's office, and I don't know what the penalties were, but they were forced to pay the cost of the investigation. Many times these days, that's another thing they tack on besides the penalties. So I just bring these to your attention because all of these groups involve smaller associations. So as you meet together over the next few days, you're going to be meeting with your peers, your competitors. There are a lot of newcomers here. So please remember the antitrust decorum that's described in the antitrust policy statement. And also, I will be around the next few days, so if you have any questions and want to talk to me about any of this, please come up, talk to me. Thank you.
Thank you, John. How many in this room attended the committee meetings yesterday that are not committee members? Okay. How many attended the board meeting today that are not board members? Okay. I've been running associations for 50 years. This is the only place where hands go up when I ask that question, because everybody else is a closed shop. We are not a closed shop because of these kinds of issues. We are an open shop. We have open meetings. You all are welcome. We welcome all ideas. We're here for you. So we don't do closed shop activities except in very rare occasions when the lawyer says we have to talk privately. And I think that's happened 3 times in the last 5 years. It's very rare. So thank you. We're here to exchange information. We want to include everybody in the process. And I don't run a mulch company. I need you to tell me what you need so that we can put our resources in the right place. And enough of you tell a board member or a staff member that you need something, we'll find a way to get it done. That's our history, and that's, I hope, our future.